step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona, your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
I've been mentioning this, mentioned it yesterday on the show. A lot of you have heard the show promo running today. And then if you were here in hour number one, I've mentioned it throughout as well. To put it very simply, there are a group of very influential people in the state that are trying to change the name of Dale Brown Court, which was voted on by the LSU Board of Supervisors a year ago. They're trying to do this in secret. And there are people like the gentleman to my left, who's a good friend, who are basically trying to figure out why and what all is going on, which is why Jeff Marks, who you've heard on this show for many times, for many years, talking about a variety of different LSU topics. Of course, the author of Walking with Tigers and many other things like we've talked about, Season of Life, and so many LSU stories that you've seen throughout the years that Jeff and I have talked about here on the show. But today is admittedly a different reason why we're having you on the show. So first of all, thank you for the time.
Good to see you, Matt.
It's always great to see you and great to have you on. I think full disclosure is important to begin. You are very close friends with Dale Brown. I will let you set that up however you wish.
Absolutely. Well, Dale is and has been one of my closest friends in life. So I wouldn't even be here in Louisiana without Dale. We first met all the way back in 1986, and I ended up doing some projects with him, including a Dribbling for Donors basketball game in the Superdome in 1994 that some people will remember.
Of course.
Pretty amazing event there. But Dale and I have been great friends. I say that I have Dale to thank for my wife for meeting Leslie, and Leslie has Dale to blame for that. But it was because of Dale many years ago that I met Leslie and now been married. Gosh, my math's not good. 17, coming up on 17 years and a resident of Louisiana. And it's all because of meeting someone while I was here with Dale. So yeah, we've been very close friends. I would certainly want nobody to think that I come here today as an objective reporter. I come here absolutely biased. Dale is my guy, but I also come here as a reporter. I do have a little bit of background in newspaper reporting. And it's something I care about a lot, and I approach it as objectively as I can, and that's exactly how I've spent my time the last few weeks and wanted to share this story with you.
One of the things I love most about you is your humility, but to say you've done a little bit of newspaper reporting in your life is a gross understatement. That's like saying Patrick Mahomes has played a little bit of football in his life. Like, you're very, very, very accomplished and great at what you do, and I respect you professionally tremendously, which is one of the reasons why I'm excited to do this. Well, for a lot of reasons, I'm excited to do this. Excited might not be the right word, but I think you understand what I mean. Let's go back. Before we go forward, I want to go back to remind people of how ultimately we got to the point last January with Dale Brown being honored with the ceremony to name the court at the Maravich Center in his honor.
Right. So this was not an issue I followed closely for a long time, but it was bubbling up every now and then for as long as about 10 years, it seems like. There were some folks locally that wanted to see the court named for Dale. That kind of came and went every now and then. But it never did get to the level where it did a couple years ago. One of the first times it really came to my attention that it was being seriously considered, there was a state senator named Stuart Cathy who introduced a resolution that was ultimately passed unanimously by the state legislature, both the Senate and the House, and it asked the LSU board to name the court solely for Dale Brown. Now, that's not a requirement. That wasn't a law, but it was strongly urging them to do so. And that was one piece that led to the conversation that took place leading up to the board meeting in September of 2021 is when that actually came to fruition.
When was the resolution? By the
That was in June of 2021.
So June of 21, right. The legislature passes a resolution to name the court for right. Dale Brown.
And things were already bubbling up. But that I think that might have served as a catalyst. And then that led to more conversations. There were a lot of mixed feelings on the board even at that time. There was a lot of debate, but there was a full debate at a board meeting on September 10th, 2021. And there was a vote taken, and it passed by the vote of 12-3 to honor Dale Brown and have his name on the court at the Pete Maravich Assembly Center.
Okay. So September of 2021, the LSU Board of Supervisors votes 12-3. To name the court after Dale Brown, which we know later happened. I want to talk about the three dissenters. Who were the three people that voted against naming Dale Brown court?
There were three votes against. One was the LSU student representative on the board. I do not recall her name. She's no longer on the board. It's a different student now. The other was a man named Jay Blossman, mm-hmm. Who spoke very openly and directly at that meeting and in other venues that the only reason he was voting against it was he didn't think the process was handled properly. It was nothing against for or against Dale Brown. It was just he wanted to see a better procedure in place for how that's handled for naming, whether it's a court, a building, whatever at LSU. So he was a no on, as he says, on process alone.
So you spoke to Jay Blossman?
I did. He also spoke very openly about that at that board meeting.
So a student rep who's no longer on the board,
right?
Jay Blossman, who said it wasn't a vote against Dale Brown Court, it was a vote against the process that LSU had. Can you elaborate at all, like what it was about the process he disapproved of?
Yeah, I think he wants it codified in a way. I don't know that there was or is a direct process. I think it has gone through different channels in the past, and I don't think he's been happy with that.
Okay.
He told me he's been pushing for change. I honestly don't know whether that has happened or not.
Okay. And who was the third?
The third is a woman named Mary Werner, who was on the board and still is on the board. And she spoke at the meeting most passionately, I think, certainly of those three. And she was in favor of the court being named not only for Dale Brown, but also for Sue Gunter. And she wanted to see both names there. In fact, she didn't introduce this amendment, but there was an amendment by the young lady who was the student member of the board at the time to name it. Originally, it came to the board to vote on the naming Dale Brown Court. Mm-hmm. Amendment was introduced and then voted on in the meeting to name it for both. And that was at the urging of both the young lady, the student, and Mary Werner was very much behind that as well. And they both spoke about that. That vote was taken and it was 12-3 against.
Against, okay.
There was more debate. And then finally, after some public comments and further debate by the board, the vote was taken 12-3 in favor of the naming of Dale Brown Court. And then to move it to its conclusion, or what we thought, I should say, what we thought was its conclusion. By the time January 4th of 2022 rolled around, LSU had paid its invoice of $11,850 to have the logo painted on the court. And the ceremony was in fact held. See, when you get into reporting a little, you come up with silly little details like that. But I always like to try to give the complete story. And that is part of it. And it was an amazing ceremony. It was before the LSU-Kentucky game. Mm-hmm. Dale was there, his family members, a lot of former players. It was a night of celebration, and I think rightly so.
And I agree. Full disclosure, I was very much in favor of Dale Brown Court, just so our audience knows where I'm coming from. When we moved to Baton Rouge in 1989 from New Orleans, LSU football stunk. We got LSU basketball tickets. First season that I saw as a Baton Rouge resident was the 89-90 season. They were pretty good. That was Shaq and Stanley and Chris Jackson, and I fell in love with LSU basketball and Dale Brown, and I'm with you. I am perfectly fine. I was ecstatic that they honored Dale Brown with the naming of the court. So in September of 21, the board voted against co-naming the court, voted 12-3 to name the court after Dale Brown. You mentioned who the three dissenters were and why, so I can maybe opine a little and say it was Mary Werner, who wanted it to be co-named, and a student who she brought along with her, and another dissenter who was against the process, not necessarily against Dale Brown Court. But overwhelmingly, clearly, this past overwhelmingly. Which brings us to now. A little more than a year after the, what was it,
$11,850.25.
$11,850.25.
And Matt,
yes, that quarter.
I don't think we need to get hung up on this. No. I can assure you this story is not about that.
I understand.
It just came as part of my public records request.
No, I understand.
This showed up in my pile. So
here we are 13 months later, and we are nearing what we think will be a vote to change the name of Dale Brown Court. When we come back with Jeff, we'll explain why and how we've gotten to the point where Jeff is sitting to my left today telling this story. Stay here. It's AFR.
AFR.
AFR is brought to you by Rouse's, the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. Rouse's.com. Rouse's.com. Y'all, it is a great time to get by Rouse's for two primary reasons. If you love this time of year like I do, and basically everybody who lives in Louisiana does, it's two reasons. Carnival, which means king cake time, and of course, Rouse's has got your king cakes. You can go pick up your great king cakes at Rouse's, or if you're maybe a displaced Louisiana, a Louisianian who's living somewhere else in the world, or you have a friend, relative, or client who lives elsewhere and you want to send them a little piece of home, you can ship that king cake anywhere in the country at Rouse's.com. But it's not just king cakes. Crawfish are back. Have you had your first crawfish of the season? If you haven't, why not do it tonight? Pull into any Rouse's. Go into the seafood department. You'll see the grab-and-go kiosks. They've got the crawfish boiled, sacked, bagged, tagged, ready to go. Just grab it, check out, and enjoy tonight. It's crawfish season at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and online at theantiagingclinics.com, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
Someone got a small head.
That's the voice of Jeffrey Marks, who's in studio with us. If you're just joining us, thanks for being here. We opened this hour in Candlewood. We're going to spend, I have this whole hour blocked off to discuss this. I think we'll need the whole hour. But if you're just joining us, Jeffrey chronicled the naming of Dale Brown Court, how it all transpired with a vote in September of 2021 by the LSU Board of Supervisors, 12-3. And now here we are with an LSU Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for a week from tomorrow, where there is a possibility, maybe a likelihood. I'll let you speak to this.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. There's definitely a possibility. I would even say a strong possibility. But even members of the board that I have spoken to tell me that they don't know yet for sure whether this is going to be on the agenda a week from tomorrow or not.
I'll say it this way. There's a strong possibility that at the Board of Supervisors meeting a week from tomorrow, there will be introduced to a vote of the board members an amendment to change the naming of Dale Brown Court to co-name it after both Dale Brown and Sue Gunter, as I understand it. I want to get into, Jeff, how we got to this point. So the board voted against, initially, 12-3 against co-naming the court.
Correct.
They then vote 12-3 in favor of naming it after Dale Brown. They put the man's name on the court last January. And here we are 13 months later, and the board might be voting to change the name? I need to understand how this has all started to transpire again. So when did this first start to really percolate?
So understand that when you ask how, a lot of people who are right in the mix are also asking how. For me, I was not involved at all. And it started for me, the first time it crossed my radar was on Dale's birthday. It was October 31st, Halloween. Dale turned 87 years old, and I always call him on his birthday. That's just something we do. It was 8:20 in the morning. We had a great little conversation, and I asked him what's on his agenda for the day. He wasn't real excited about the fact that someone was coming to fix a leaking pipe. He said that was the first thing he was doing on his 87th birthday, right. But he said the day was going to get better because he was going to lunch. He was going to lunch at TJ Ribs with President Tate from LSU and Collis Temple, former basketball star at LSU. I think a lot of people here already know his story, and very involved in the basketball program all the way through these decades, and in business, and also a member of the LSU Board of Supervisors. But none of that resume had anything to do with it. It was all about, as far as Dale knew, three men that were going to lunch to enjoy and celebrate his birthday.
So why were they actually going to lunch?
Well, as I say, Dale didn't come with an agenda, but President Tate did. And this has been described to me. I have not talked to President Tate about this. I tried to speak with him a couple times the last week or so, and unfortunately they declined to make him available. But Dale, it became apparent very quickly because the way Dale describes it, President Tate, to him, looked a little uneasy from the moment he got there. And Dale couldn't understand why. He says he even asked him, hey, is everything okay? Because they had gotten along really well prior to this. Dale really enjoyed him, liked him, respected him. And something just wasn't right. And the conversation led very quickly to President Tate talking about the Dale Brown court and letting Dale know that there was some conversation behind the scenes going on about people wanting to add the name Sue Gunther to that. I can't give you exact words because obviously I wasn't there, but I can recount for you what two people who were there shared with me.
So you said you did not speak to President Tate. So you spoke to Dale, and I would presume you spoke to Collis Temple.
Right.
Who spoke to you about this lunch.
And other things involved in this. Yes, but because there were three people there, I'd love to talk to all three of them, but I did have the opportunity to speak with two of them. The way it went down, President Tate discussed the issue with Dale and said something along the lines of, you're really known as a great humanitarian, and this would really help improve, help enhance your public image as a humanitarian if you were the one who decided to get out front on this and you be the one to announce that you would love to see her name added to the court. Now, a couple things on that. That was pretty upsetting to Dale for numerous reasons. But anyone who knows about Dale Brown knows that he's not going to get out there and try to polish his image that way. That's not how he does. Dale does what he believes in. He does what he believes is right. And he will fight for anything that he believes is right. I don't think I have to announce that as news here in Louisiana. I think people have known that now that he's been here for 50 years in Louisiana. But that was shocking to Dale because...
Real quick, for the benefit, I don't want to miss this opportunity, I'm sorry, but understand that Dale Brown, his last season coaching LSU was 1997. It's been 25 years.
Correct.
It was 26 years almost. But there's a lot of people listening to us right now who don't remember Dale Brown as the basketball coach. Fill in those blanks for younger people about Dale Brown, the humanitarian, that may not be aware.
Well, so Dale coached for 25 years at LSU as the head coach. He won a lot of games. He went to two Final Fours. He was National Coach of the Year. He coached Shaquille O'Neal and many others who went on to stardom in the NBA. But having spent the amount of time that I have with him, I would say the points on the scoreboard might matter. Those numbers might matter. But Dale was all about using that platform, the power of the sports platform, to touch and impact the lives of others. That was his number one goal above everything else. So the way I describe Dale, he's done so much for so many people for so long that he's already almost like a living, breathing state park in Louisiana. Everyone can feel like they own a little piece of Dale, whether his name is on a court or not.
Sure.
And I would also say the most important statistics, the ones that aren't talked about enough in the world of sports, but certainly were most important to Dale, lives touched and hope gained. So that's the best I can do to describe Dale as a college basketball coach.
I think you said it well. Anyone in this town or state that has ever had any dealings with Dale Brown can understand explicitly, you know, what you explained there. So we're at lunch. It's Dale Brown, President Tate, Collis Temple Jr., or Big Collis, as they may call him, as many may affectionately know Collis, who played for Dale at LSU. President Tate asks Dale Brown to be the great humanitarian and volunteer this? And how did, yes.
And here's why. I should clarify why he meant it that way. Because there are people involved in this whole process who feel very strongly about the fact that a woman's name should be on there as well as a man. So Dale was a little bit insulted, I think, because of the fact that what he's done for people in this community, this state, this nation, it has nothing to do with male or female. It has to do with humanity. And so that was one piece of it, I think. The other was just this, bringing this to him as if it were his responsibility to take care of something that they had run into a problem on. Okay, so there were people behind the scenes, and I had this described to me later in my reporting, that felt very strongly that this should be done. And not only President Tate, but others involved in this process were looking for a solution. There were several folks involved, including President Tate and others, who thought this was a good idea, that maybe this would be a solution. If President Tate could have this conversation with Dale, maybe he could convince Dale to be the one out front. Therefore, it would take the pressure off of them. It would kind of release them from having to play that role.
Who were some of the others?
I'm not comfortable naming those, but they've been very involved in the process. They were involved in direct conversations with President Tate and others about this. And some of them have spoken to me during this process of the last few weeks, which, as I said, I turned into a reporter again. There were those who spoke to me on the record. Others felt more comfortable speaking only as background, not for attribution, but entirely usable in my discussion of this. I ended up speaking to over 25 people. I didn't exactly count them, but I got to 25 and said, I'm tired of going through my notes.
Okay.
So this was not just a quick in and out. And so what I'm sharing with you, I have absolute comfort in. Again, I can't tell you what those exact words were because I wasn't sitting at the table. I want to be clear about that. I can tell you that the overall message and feel was absolutely clear and just as clear as Dale's response.
And his response was no.
It was no. There were some other words attached to it. Okay. I'm not going to share those here.
Okay.
But I think it's fair enough to say, I will say two things that I'm comfortable saying about that. The lunch did not end well. And it only ended with two people at the table, not three.
And it would be, I would assume, the two people with whom you spoke.
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
And say that President Tate did not finish the meal with Dale and Collis.
So at that point then, why doesn't this go away?
Because there are people that didn't want it to go away. Some of the same people who were looking for a solution now didn't have one. So it went to the next level.
Which would be?
The governor of Louisiana.
So at what level is Governor Edwards involved in all of this? Which is, by the way, if I can opine for a minute and interject, ludicrous that we're having a conversation about the governor of the state of Louisiana interjecting himself about the naming of a court that's already been named. But anyway, don't let me.
No, well, you have.
Deviate.
And you make a perfect point, because I have to tell you, Matt, it's not my first time around the block, but I was shocked. I mean, I was really amazed at some of the things I learned while I was doing my reporting. Even though I was hearing pieces of it from people involved as some of it was going on, it was only when I kind of shifted gears and became a reporter again on this and started learning some of the details that I actually couldn't believe it. As a resident of Louisiana, I've been here since 2007. I love it here. We've talked about that here on this show. We've talked about how much I love LSU sports and what a process and project that whole Walking with Tigers journey was for me. I have nothing against LSU. I love all of that stuff. It's been an incredible part of my life here. I have nothing against Sue Gunter, nor does Dale Brown or any of the folks that I have talked to about this. But I have to say, I was absolutely shocked when I started learning some of the details about the president of the university, the amount of time that certain board members have spent on this, and then the fact that the governor got involved the way he did. And I can't speak to when he first got involved. I don't know that. But I can speak to what I learned about a meeting that he had at the governor's mansion with some members of the board.
We're going to talk about that meeting at the governor's mansion with members of the LSU Board of Supervisors when we continue next.
AFR. After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and online at theantiagingclinics.com. ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
If you're just joining us, Jeffrey Marks in studio has done some great reporting. The issue at hand is that the governor of Louisiana, President William Tate at LSU, and several other power brokers are trying to change the name of Dale Brown Court, which came to a vote to the board back in September of 2021, passed. The court, of course, has since been named after Dale Brown. And then on Dale's birthday, this past October, President Tate, Collis Temple, and Dale had lunch at TJ Ribs, where the president asked Dale Brown to, I guess, volunteer a co-naming of the court with he and Sue Gunter. Dale declined, but other people have continued to push this issue forward, which brings us to, as you mentioned before, the governor of the state of Louisiana.
I feel obligated to make one clarification there.
Okay,
not that
please.
You didn't say anything wrong.
Please.
But when you say Dale declined, I want to make sure people understand that Dale felt it wasn't his place. So Dale's feeling on this is that he never asked for this. He never lobbied for anything. The board did this. The university did this. He was given this honor. It would actually be disrespectful of him to inject himself into something that the board already did. And also attendant to that, I think it's really important to mention, Dale knew Sue and coached. They literally worked in the same hallway at the PMAC years for years. They had a wonderful relationship. Nothing against Sue Gunter whatsoever. In fact, he has made very clear to numerous folks during this process that he would like to see something named for Sue Gunter. He has recommended maybe the practice facility, the Sue Gunter practice facility. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure people understand, just it's not just Dale said no, because I think that's oversimplifying it a little bit.
I think that's a very important clarification. Okay, so the governor of the state of Louisiana, how does he fit in?
The governor, I do not know when he got involved, but I know that he did have I know that he was involved and has been involved. He invited five members of the Board of Trustees to the governor's mansion for lunch. They served crawfish etouffee. I heard that it was actually very good.
How do you know they had etouffee?
Because I spoke to some people who were there.
Okay, fair enough.
And I always believe as a reporter, the details matter. They make it real. You might remember the crawfish story when Joe Burrow was on his recruiting visit here.
I do.
I think it was important that that one was reported correctly as well.
Yep.
So the governor made it very clear over lunch. Five board members were there, including the chairperson, Valencia Sarpy Jones, who pretty much controls the agenda. I don't mean her personally because it's her, but historically the chairman or chairperson of the Board of Supervisors has a lot of control over the agenda. She was one of the five there. The governor told these five exactly what he wanted, which was to have Sue Gunter's name added. Not everybody there was happy about it at all. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody spoke up in conflict with what the governor was asking. I do know that one of the five was more vocal than others. One was very much opposed to both names being on the court and made that clear. And one, in his conversation with me, also said this: from the conversations that were going on, it was pretty plain that he, meaning the governor, was getting hammered by the women on this issue.
So this was what someone at the lunch, a board member at the lunch at the governor's mansion, told you, that the governor was, as you put it, getting hammered by, quote, the women?
And again, I can only tell you, I wouldn't even share that with you if it was only one person saying that to me. That's actually been a common thread in these conversations. But because I wasn't there, it still leaves me a little bit uneasy in terms of, I'm very comfortable that that is what the folks involved perceive as what is happening. But I can't say that I was there watching it happen.
Understood.
But I feel very comfortable that that's what those folks took it to be.
So who are, as the board members put it, quote, the women?
Well, there are three whose names have come up a lot. Dee Dee Bro, the former LSU gymnastics coach, has absolutely been involved in this. And by the way, I had a very good conversation with her about it, which we can get into in a minute if you'd like to. Mary Warner, who was and is LSU board member. She was one of the three, remember, mm-hmm. who voted against this the first time. And she still sits on the board and is a friend of Dee Dee's. And then the third, when they say the women, the way that that's been described to me, the third is the governor's wife, Donna, who, again, I've had no conversation with, but her name has come up with those others as being a friend of theirs. They, according to what I've been told by multiple people, have had conversations about this, and Don Edwards has had conversations with the governor about this. That's what I've been told in a great way has led to his interest in this.
And I think it's worth noting, for those that don't know the name, Mary Warner. Mary Warner is a board member. She's the daughter of a very wealthy former Louisiana politician who is since deceased. And wields a lot of power because of the money that she spends and has. I think that's very fair to say. Is that why the governor's involved?
I can't answer that question. I can tell you that's been talked about a lot.
Okay.
But I cannot sit here. Remember, I'm in reporter mode.
Right.
And that's how I operate. That's my background. And that's how I feel I should operate in the sharing of a story
of
like
course.
This. So you're obviously someone whose job it is to give opinions. Mine is to try to collect facts and do the best I can present them. So I'm not comfortable saying that, but I'm very comfortable saying that's definitely been talked about a lot.
Okay. So Mary Warner, Dee Dee Bro, and the governor's wife, Donna Edwards, reportedly are all, quote, hammering the governor to make this change, to co-name the court for Dale Brown and Sue Gunter. The governor has five board members to the mansion for lunch to try to push this agenda. Is this, I'm curious, is this even allowed? Like, my assumption would be, I mean, board meetings are public. Like, can there be board business discussed without the public being notified or being allowed to comment or anything like this?
What I've been told, and I haven't done a full-blown research project on this, but what I've been told is that related to this board, you would require a majority plus one for it to be considered a public meeting. I've had other people tell me it also depends what committee some of those people might sit on. I don't even know what the committees are. I didn't research that. I can't answer whether that mm-hmm. was proper or not. I certainly don't know it to be improper, but it made me wonder. I was curious about that. But because there were so many other pieces of this I was interested in finding out, I didn't really look into that a whole lot.
So
I don't think people would feel good about it, whether it's
sure.
whether it's legal or proper or not. It just kind of doesn't feel right.
This is the point that for as long as I've talked about this and heard about this, this is the point I keep coming back to. If this is something where you were trying to celebrate somebody, why is this being done in secret? Why is this being done underhandedly, quietly, in the shadows? The governor's having board members over for lunch, and they're trying to push Tate to meet with Dale and do it. Like, if you're celebrating something, if this is a grand thing that everyone should get behind, why then are these people who are pushing this doing so in secret?
Matt, I agree with you entirely, and it's been one of the things that's baffling to me about this. So the three women, I won't even say the three because really the two that have been talked about the most in the conversations I've had with people are Dee Dee Bro and Mary Warner. Donna Edwards' name came up multiple times, but as that person who was the bridge, so to speak, between the other two women and Governor Edwards. I don't understand at all. The whole idea they have is they feel like they want a woman's name on there to celebrate women, which is great. I have nothing against that whole concept at all. They wanted to tie it in, I have been told very directly by Dee Dee in our conversation, they thought it would have been great to do this last year as part of the 50-year celebration of Title IX being passed in 1972. Now that raises a whole other set of issues as related to LSU and some of the Title IX problems there. That's a whole different conversation that has gone on.
LSU is under federal Title IX investigation right now. So I don't want to speak for you, but my assumption hearing that would be they're thinking, okay, do this, and maybe that appeases some of the pressure from the federal Title IX lawsuit.
Which is
foolish, by the way.
But it is foolish, but it has been talked about a lot.
I don't doubt.
And I've heard a lot of people bring that up in these last few weeks. But it has been secretive, and I totally agree. I don't understand it. Also, as part of that secrecy, I have requested interviews but wasn't able to get them with the governor, with President Tate, with the athletic director, Scott Woodward, with the chairperson of the board, Valencia Sarpy-Jones, and with Mary Warner. But unfortunately, none of those people chose to speak with me. I would have loved to hear from them directly.
If you're one of those, it goes back to my point. If you're the governor, if you're President Tate, if you're Mary Warner, if you're one of these people that is so proud of what you were doing, then why are you not willing to discuss it publicly? That is the part of this that has baffled me from the beginning. I want to stay on time, so we got to grab a break. But when we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this thing as well and talk about what might be coming, what maybe people might be able to do. And the other thing that I want to stress, because I don't know that I've said this enough, I am completely okay with honoring the late Sue Gunter. Name something else after Sue Gunter. As you mentioned, the practice facility. There's so many ways that you can honor Sue Gunter without dishonoring Dale Brown. Let's pick up. We'll return to wrap up hour number two. Jeffrey Marks is here. It's AFR.
AFR.
Get Gordon and get it done. Gordon McKernan, Injury Attorneys. Online at getgordon.com. It's getgordon.com. And all this month, I love this. I absolutely love this initiative that Gordon has introduced there with the G Team. Of course, Gordon's done an NIL deal with the entire purple and gold lady basketball team, I think, if I take all the branding off of it. And what they're doing is called Playing for a Purpose. So Gordon Gives is going to donate $20 for every point scored by Alexis Morris and Angel Reese during this month. And all that money is going to go to the Turner Syndrome Foundation. That's a charity that is very close to the Mulkey family. And it's such an awesome thing to do. So, Gordon, yes, if you've been injured in an accident and you need help and you need representation, get Gordon and get it done. But, of course, Gordon does so much great in our communities. You know what to do. Get Gordon and get it done.
After further review with Matt Moscona, presented by the Aesthetic Medicine and Anti-Aging Clinics of Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and online at theantiagingclinics.com, ESPN Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria.
We're wrapping up this hour with Jeffrey Marks, who's in studio. If you're just joining us, I would highly, highly, highly encourage you, please go back and listen to this entire hour. Watch it on the Watch 104.5 ESPN YouTube channel. Ultimately, if I were to boil it down in an elevator pitch condensed version, the Board of Supervisors named the court at the PMAC after Dale Brown. There are some influential people who wanted Sue Gunter's name on there all along. The board did not vote that through more than a year ago. They never let the issue cease. Among them, Mary Warner, Dee Dee Bro, the governor's wife, Donna Edwards. And they are putting tremendous pressure on the governor to push this through quietly. That's with information we have and part of my condensing of the story. But Jeff, I'm going to ask you this question as plainly as I can. The board voted in September of 21, 12-3, to approve the naming Dale Brown Court and voted down a co-naming 12-3 at the same meeting in September of 21. Why now would the board reverse its vote?
Well, the only thing I have been able to find is the behind-the-scenes conversations, meetings. You use the word pressure, and I think that's a fair one. I think there have been some conversations and meetings I've been able to find out about in my reporting. I'm sure there have been many, many more I don't know about. I look forward to learning more because I actually, on my way here, had a chance to stop by LSU, the general counsel's office. I had put in a public records request on January 17th as part of my reporting. And today, after they did their work in putting that together and collecting the responsive records, I have 676 pages to read tonight. So I have a feeling I'm going to learn more, and I'm looking forward to that. I know there is more, but I think even from the 3 or 4 weeks that I have spent most of my time speaking to people about this, I think that would be my conclusion.
So the governor is pressuring board members that he appointed to push this through. I want to circle back to...
That's fine, but I still want to be as complete and as fair as possible.
Okay.
The word pressure is a big word, and it can mean a lot of different things. What I have been told is this meeting, this lunch at the governor's mansion, it was not ranting and raving and pounding his fist on the table. It was very even keel, a very controlled conversation. It wasn't a governor standing there ranting and raving, telling these people what to do. He made it very clear to them what he wanted done, but it's not like the temperature was turned up too high. Pressure can mean different things.
Is it possible to honor Sue Gunter in another way?
Absolutely. How could it not be? I mean, you could name the practice facility. We've talked about that. You could name a road. You could name... I mean, there are any number of things. I don't work in the athletic department. I don't work for the city of LSU, the city of Baton Rouge. But I'm sure there are plenty of ways in that area, whether it's something physically on campus or in some other way. But of course there would be, and it would be well-deserved.
And why would you say, and we're short on time in 2 minutes here, that the co-naming is something that would be a problem?
Let's look at what they did with Alex Box Stadium. Alex Box Stadium, duly named for a man who deserved that many years ago, a former LSU baseball player who died in the war. Many years later, here comes Skip Bertman. Great record, great coach, built the LSU program. What are they going to do? They're going to add a second name to the stadium? No, they found something else to do. They named the field for him. Perfect. Take another case, Pete Maravich Assembly Center. Most famous player in the history of LSU basketball. They named the building for him. Now we have Simone Augustus. Phenomenal. One of the greatest ever. They gave her a statue. They didn't rename the building, the Pete Maravich Simone Augustus Assembly Center. Should they? I don't think so. I think that gets pretty complicated. You can find another naming opportunity.
We're under a minute. Do you know when we will know if this is coming to a vote?
Supposedly, the agenda will be set 48 hours before. I don't know that, and I think they have ways around that. Since we're closing, I want to close with this, if I may, please. I'm going to go back into friend mode for a minute.
Okay.
Dale is my friend. I have watched what he and his family have gone through during this process. He's 87 years old. His legacy will be with us forever, as it should be. Don't diminish Dale. Don't dilute Dale. Don't disrespect Dale. That's a friend speaking now, not the reporter, as I have been the rest of this visit.
Well said. I appreciate the time. We will certainly follow up as this continues to develop. I'm going to put out a tweet, and I'm going to tag the governor and the president of LSU in it, imploring them not to do this. And I hope all of you will retweet it, share it, and do the exact same. Jeffrey Marks in studio with us here.